Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us for another episode of Talk Daytime. Tonight we have Lindsay Godfrey, who most of you know from Bold and the Beautiful, on with us. I recently watched an episode of Michelle Stafford's podcast, which if you haven't checked it out, you have to. It's absolutely hilarious. And I enjoyed it so much, and I immediately wanted to invite Lindsay on the show, and I emailed her, and she was more than happy to do this. So, as always, I've got Kathy with me, and we would love it if you guys would just hang out with us and chat along with us on Twitter or in the box below. And, yeah, Lindsay's here, so we're going to get started. I'm going to put her on. Lindsay?
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Can you hear me? I'm good. I apologize in advance. I wasn't supposed to have my daughter here today, but she's here, so you may hear a tiny voice come in and out.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Kathy's got a son, and sometimes we hear him, and she also has pets, so it's fine. We just go with it.
Perfect.
Yeah, my son is a cancer. So no chance of him chiming in this time.
My sister's away, so we're good. Okay, so I wanted to start tonight. First of all, Kathy pointed out to me before we went on that you're from Florida, so you're a Southern girl too. We're both from Alabama. So.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Southern girl, I'm sure. Yeah, we both live in Alabama. She lives in...
I live on the Gulf Coast. I live in But what got you started out in acting? Was it something that you just were drawn to, or was, did you have something in particular that kicked things off, or...
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, I was always, like, really drawn to comedies, and I often mimicked, like, a lot of my favorite comedians, and... I always memorized scenes and performed them when I was a kid, and I was in chorus, but I cannot sing, like, to save my life, and I can't sing and I can't sit still, and so my choir teacher recommended my mom that I should try drama when I got a little bit older, and I did, and I went to a high school drama competition and got found there, and by Chrissy Metz's manager from This Is Us. We had the same manager, and we lived in this crazy actor's house together, and then she was my legal guardian for a little while.
Okay, that's
but
not
yeah,
like
it
a
was
story
kind of like,
how did that happen?
Yeah.
How did you end up under somebody else's care like that?
Pardon?
I said, that sounds like a story. She became your legal guardian for a little while?
Yeah, I was 16 and living out here all by myself, and so, yeah, my mom would just basically have to sign guardianship over to whoever I was living with so that they could make legal decisions for me, because I was 16 and she was 25, and so, yeah, I mean, neither of us, you know, neither old, like, of us old enough to be doing what we were doing, but.
But
well,
you managed and you came out okay.
Though.
Pardon?
Oh, I said that you seem to have managed. It worked.
Yeah, it worked out. It was cool. And it's a cool experience and a cool story to tell.
Well, I wanted to talk about, so I saw you, I've never watched Bold and Beautiful. I have no idea anything that goes on that show. I followed you on Twitter forever. I don't know how, I just randomly was already following you, but I saw you on Michelle Stafford's podcast. I've been trying to watch all of them because I'm behind, and she's like podcast goals because I think she's so funny. And I loved
she's hysterical.
That you guys did. And so I looked you up on Twitter, and I was so glad that I was able to like find your email on there and stuff, but I loved all the things you guys talked about. It was so funny.
Yeah, and it was such a blast because I love Michelle anyway, and so it's just easy. She's easy to be around, so it was just kind of like hanging out and just chatting like we would normally do. So it was awesome.
Yeah, I told Kathy, I was like, my goal is like, we've always done like more structured interviews, and I was like, I'm gonna do our show the way we like she does hers. Like they just sit there and talk, and it seems so fun. Like we're gonna do that. But I wanted
that's
to talk,
what we did
so
for sure.
I loved hearing about, you're a cancer survivor, and you were talking about that a little bit on her podcast, and, like, just the way that you were talking about life and, like, how that kind of affected you was so amazing to me, and I admired that, and, so I was wondering if you would share a little bit of that with our listeners tonight, if you want to.
Yeah, of course. So I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma stage 3A a month before my 18th birthday. and I underwent 12 rounds of chemotherapy for 6 months. And I had just come off of a NBC show where I was a recurring on it, and, you know, it's kind of like things were going in a different direction, and then your whole life kind of gets halted, and it's amazing how I think sickness kind of really puts things into a perspective for you, where you start to really truly appreciate the small things. And, you know, like my favorite thing in the world is just getting up in the morning with my daughter and doing like morning routine with her, or putting her to bed at night, things that kind of people would normally find boring or tedious. I kind of find joy in them because I get to be around to do them, which is really exciting.
Yeah, I just love hearing that because, like, that's different. Go ahead, Kathy.
And you've had a couple of different close calls. I remember you being in an accident a couple of years ago. Have you fully recovered from that?
Yeah, we always jokingly call me Wolverine. I've definitely had my share of close calls as far as life or death moments, and the accident was kind of crazy. Just walking on the sidewalk, and there was a car accident, and one of the cars came up and over the sidewalk and took out me and a bus bench and broke both my legs. So yeah, it's one of those things where I'm like, it's definitely made for an interesting life. But again,
well, that's
like,
okay though, because you can share that with people, and you can share like for me, listening to you talk about that, and just like, you know, most of us, like, we live such a fast-paced life now, and, like, with everything that goes on around us and with social media and stuff, and nobody stops to appreciate, like, super small things until you have something happen to you like that. And unfortunately, like, it takes that sometimes. So it's nice to hear, like, it's a nice refresher to hear somebody who's been there talk about that now.
Yeah, and it makes you honestly take a moment to actually be grateful for the dark times, because it makes you enjoy the light times so, so much more. You know, when I'm, you know, during those times when it's really hard and it's really rough and you kind of stand there and you're like, gosh, I can't take anymore, I oftentimes will stop and just kind of say thank you for this moment of struggle, because when it gets better, and it will get better, it's going to feel so much better. And just to have something be normal is going to feel like the greatest thing ever. So you become grateful for everything. You become grateful for the times when things are easy, and then you do become grateful for the times when you're struggling, because you know when you aren't struggling anymore, it's going to be so much more beautiful.
Do you find that it gives you a little bit more patience than you think you typically would have? Like, for instance, my son was born extremely premature, so he spent the first 8 months of his life in the NICU. And so I find myself now really wanting to, when he does this typical kid thing, and, you know, typically I would want to just lose it, I find myself taking a deep breath and going, wait a second, you know, this is, you know, stop, take a minute. You don't need to do that, because, you know, he easily could not be here. You know, it could have been gone bad or gone the other way. And I just find that it gives me a level of patience that I probably wouldn't have otherwise had. And do you find that to be true, just the your perspective on things like that have changed?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely patient. I mean, I have a lot of patience, I feel like. I it takes me a long time to get up to my breaking point, for sure. But I also kind of feel like at that point where I just take things day by day, and I don't like to look at things as the bigger picture, because that gets overwhelming. So it does teach you to, like, kind of live in the moment and being like, okay, I can't possibly think about what's going to happen tomorrow, so let me just focus on getting through the next 10 minutes. So 100%, I find, and I'm patient not just only with her, I'm just patient with other people. I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, and any time that you experience something, whether it, you know, anything traumatic or anything that's sad or dark time in your life, I feel like you can relate to people who've been there or been through something similar even more. Like, if you've lost someone, or if you've been through that yourself, or if you've been hurt, or if you've had, you know, been sick, anything like that, like, you can really relate to other people on another, like, level through that. And even if it's not the same situation, like, it gives you a better understanding of what other people are experiencing.
Yeah, it's almost like a sisterhood or something when you know.
Yeah, it's a club.
it's a club, yeah. And I'm grateful, and I'm beyond honored that me being open and sharing my stories with people you know, helps them cope with their situation or makes them feel like they're not alone and that everybody kind of goes through it, because everybody goes through some sort of great tragedy at some point, you know, and it, just knowing that you're not alone, I feel like, is always a nice feeling.
Yeah, 100%.
Well,
I agree.
I want to ask a question, completely changing gears here. One of the things that I really liked, one of the things I do every year is I watch all of the daytime Emmy reels and things like that. And one of the things that I loved from your reel a couple of years ago was that it was so comedy-based. I loved that, because nobody else was putting in anything like that in their reels. And I just wanted to ask, do you find yourself drawn more to comedy than higher drama? Do you think that that's really where your niche is, or do you just enjoy doing it more, or was that just a random happenstance? I thought it was a fantastic reel.
It's a little bit of all of it, to be honest with you. You know, for a long time when I first was brought on the show, they really didn't know what to do with me. They didn't know where they wanted to put the character. She was very similar to Kim Mutula's character. And they didn't want that. So it took them a little bit to figure it out. And then when Brad Bell learned of my love of comedy, he kind of just let me take the reins with it and run with it. And so for the first, I would say probably year and a half I was on that show, I never had a crying scene. So that was all I had to submit. I didn't have the option of submitting some powerful thing, because my character never cried. She was the comedic relief of the show. And if she cried, it was more of a pout, and it wasn't like anything traumatic. She really didn't deal with things that way. I've had a love of comedy my whole life. It's just, it's the thing that makes me happy. In 1 minute, please, baby. It's the thing that's always made me happy. And, but I do love doing drama, and I do love finding, the pain and the levels in drama, but comedy will always be my first love. So yeah, it was a little bit of everything. I didn't happen to have anything, and it was kind of great. I felt like people said it was kind of, that year they're like, it was a nice little break from such, heavy scenes to have somebody come in and just be a complete lunatic.
I was going through reel after reel of sadness and despair, and I got to see that one, and I was just like, oh, thank you. This was awesome.
Well, soaps are notorious for being, like, dramatic, and everybody's crying, and I feel like everything, you know, characters go through periods of being happy, but for the most part, everybody's always crying. So it's nice to have those characters that are just there. Like, they're there for the comedic relief, and they're so funny. So it goes well.
Yeah, and it's great. And I always get grateful when they let me come in and play. I often, you know, because this with soaps, the situations are so much more heightened. But I always come in and kind of am, like, laughing or while we're doing this scene. I'm like, this is so crazy. Like, in what world will this be a thing? And it's,
well,
you know, and it's funny. And it's, go ahead.
I was going to say, while we're on the subject of soaps, and you said that about, like, the crazy moments. So what, to you, is, like, the funniest, like, cliche soap thing that, like, we still see even now that just, like, it totally makes you laugh, even if it's dramatic?
There's a bunch of them. You know what makes me really laugh is when they replace a character with a different actor, and then nobody acknowledges the fact that that actor is a completely different person.
Yes.
Alita's dad, Robert Adamson, plays Noah Newman on Young and the Restless, and that was played by Kevin Schmidt, who is blonde hair, brown eyed, and then he went to Paris and came back with black hair and green eyes.
Yeah.
And they just called him Noah, and that's it.
They did that on General Hospital with Kiki. She was Kristen Alderson played her, and she had dark hair. And then one day, Haley Aaron started playing her, and she's blonde, and she's a lot taller, and, like, she looks completely different. And they, like, put a little note saying the role of Kiki is now being played by, and it was like nobody's gonna acknowledge that this is a completely different person,
looking person.
I know. I
think,
yeah.
I love Haley. I just got to meet her recently.
Oh yeah, she's great. She's a really great actress.
Back in the day. when they topped it out, though, I think when they replaced a decidedly Asian actress with oh my goodness, my brain just went completely blank. She's on Days of Our Lives now, and she played Blair on One Life to Live.
Cassie DeFiva.
Yeah. She replaced an Asian actress.
Oh wow. And yeah, that's one of those ones where I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, no acknowledgement whatsoever. It was just like, there you go.
Yeah, I've asked like soap friends, like, what's the most ridiculous one you've seen? And somebody told me they saw it once where the person was going in for a hug, and when they came out of the hug, they were a different person. And I was like, that's the best one ever.
Well, okay, that's so funny that you said that. I don't know why that made me think of this, but one time, like, on General Hospital, I know that they just don't care when it comes to characters coming and leaving. They just, like, pretend that character's on vacation forever. And I notice it, like, it happens pretty frequently because people come and go. And I remember one time Laura got, like, a phone call and said she was going to the doctor, and she literally didn't come back for a year. That was the longest doctor's appointment ever. Like, all year, she didn't come back.
Yeah,
and
that's usually
and nobody knew she was leaving.
Yeah, and that's usually a solution for when they run out of story or the actor wants to leave the show or any number of reasons. Those are usually the solutions. I mean, my character was in New York for the past year, so.
Well, yeah, but doctor's appointment for a whole year. Like, I thought it was so funny. We didn't know that the actress was even leaving. I mean, it just happened one day, and I was like, surely, like, she'll come back. No, like, not for a year. And it was just so funny to me. Like, that's the best excuse they can come up with. She had to go to the doctor.
She's at the doctor's office. It's very serious.
Yeah.
Now,
my mom was like, imagine if she had blood work.
Now, your status on Bold and Beautiful is recurring, technically, but are you still filming there? Are you coming back, or are you kind of moving on at this point?
I'm back right now for a stint. I got a phone call, and I'm happy to be back, and I love working there, and Bold's always been a family of mine. So it's kind of one of those things where it's all, you know, it's the ball's in their court for sure. But I am filming currently with them. I have no idea any of the details.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I was excited to get the call. I didn't think it kind of came out of, it was definitely a shock because I had made an announcement that it, like, wasn't going to happen anymore, and then it came out of nowhere. So it was a pleasant surprise for sure.
Well, that's how they just move so fast.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe that announcement prodded some soap fans to kind of bug everybody and say, hey, what's up? Give her a call.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, on the subject of that a little bit, so tell us, like, what is it like or what is your favorite part of working on a soap and, like, kind of what is that like for you on the daily and what do you love about it and what do you, like, what could you do without? About working on a soap, because everybody has that thing about their job that they just, you know.
Let's see. I mean, I love we get to work some pretty solid hours, and I love, like, you know, it still allows me to come home and usually either at least take Alita to school or pick her up from school, which I really really love. I weirdly enough love how fast paced it is, which a lot of actors don't like. It feels like a challenge that you have to go in and just absolutely nail the scene if you want it to be good, because you don't get that many options to do it that many times. And I love that. I think it's really – I work really well under pressure, so I really, really love that aspect of it. And I don't think I'll ever miss having to do bikini scenes.
Those will always
be, like, those things that you're like, oh, man.
That would be so stressful. That would make me want to cry. Like, that sounds so, like, I'd be so just conscious of it, because you're going to be on TV. Like, no, thank you.
Yeah, you're on TV. It's not even just, like, it's internationally or it's all over the world, and everybody on that show looks like they've been sculpted from butter, so there's just so much pressure to be in shape.
Yeah, soaps definitely give us unrealistic expectations of what people look like, because not everybody walks around looking that amazing all the time. But characters on
soaps always somehow
manage to look perfect.
Now, see,
it
would work out really well for me, because they'd probably pay me to not be seen in a bikini. So I would be the beneficiary there. Nobody wants to see this old lady in a bikini.
Well, that sounds like so stressful to me. And like, it's forever immortalized on the internet if it was on TV, because nowadays everything's on the internet. That's just a scary thought. Not to make it worse, but anyway, okay, so switching a little bit, but still talking about soap, is there a soap character out there that's, like, currently or in the past that you're a fan of, that you would like a role that you would want to take on, or somebody that you just wish you could play for a day on any of the shows? Hello, are you all there?
Hello?
Like, watching myself? Are you there?
Oh, no, you're there. The thing is acting really weird.
Oh.
I don't know what happened. The thing just froze for a minute. But anyway, go ahead.
I don't like to watch myself very much, so I don't really watch the show. So I don't really know the characters all that well. I mean, there's characters that I love, but I would never want to play for a day, just because I don't think I could do them justice. because I love the character of Maya on our show, and I think Carla Moseley does just a beautiful, beautiful job. And Quinn, who's played by Rena Silver, is a really fun character, but Rena does such a beautiful job. So there's plenty of characters who I think, that character is awesome, but I would never think to want to play them. not that I don't want to be them. I would totally want to be them, but I would never think that I could do it better than the person that's doing it. So
right.
It's kind of one of those things where I'm like, that's a cool role, but I'm just going to watch and appreciate it from afar because you're doing an amazing job with it.
So it sounds
totally.
We need to get you connected with a character that can pretty much say anything without recrimination, because that kind of seems to be the common theme with those two characters.
Yeah, that was kind of Caroline for a long time. She was that person that came in and was like, you know, hey, remember when this bad thing happened and you two were doing this thing together? That was awful. And then she just kind of leaves. She's usually like, she doesn't have a lot of a filter. And I kind of love that, especially on soaps. I love when there's like a strong female character who's really opinionated. I really like those characters.
I love the character who just does whatever they want. Like, it's my favorite.
Yeah.
So let me go back a little bit. You mentioned that you liked the fast pace of, you know, environment of soap. And it sounds like you would probably do really, really well. Do you do a lot of theater, or are you interested in doing theater? Because that type of environment seems like it lends itself well, and your training with soaps would help with that.
Do you know what's so funny is I never used to want to do it. And then Torsten Kay has been, for the past probably 2 years, has been driving it home to me that he thinks I should do it at least once. And so it was nothing I ever wanted to do until recently. And now I've been kind of like looking at like, you know, different plays that are coming up in LA and being like, maybe I should try it. That'd be kind of fun to do, like just to say I did it. And Heather Tom does it occasionally still. And it does seem like something like that would be kind of hand in hand with what we do over there. Cause it is, you know, I usually say it's like theater over there. Cause you just come out and you perform and you got to ignore everything that's going on around you. And you just do like a lot of dialogue and a lot of heavy scenes, just one shot.
Yeah, totally. And I have so much respect for people who do theater live, because I did a couple in high school, like that we don't have to talk about, but I had my moment with theater, and I was like minor characters, and there's so much going on at all times. Like, it's so insane to me. Like, I couldn't imagine playing like the lead or like doing that on a daily. Like, that would be so stressful to me.
Yeah, I haven't done theater since I was a kid. And it was really fun, and I really thrived, and I loved it when I did it. But it's been, I mean, gosh, this has been 15 years since probably I stepped foot on a stage.
Yeah, it's stressful to me. I did it a few times, and it just totally not my – well, I did it because I wanted to take acting in high school, and it was part of the gig. You know, like, you take acting, you have to be in the play. And it was so stressful, like, so much going on all the time. And, like, I remember we did a show about We did the Laramie Project, which if you're not familiar with, it's about, what's his name? Oh, I'm totally blanking.
Matthew Shepard.
It's about, okay, thank you, Kathy, yes, it's about him. And it's about, like, the story of that trial. He was in Laramie, Wyoming, and he was gay, and he was killed because of it, unfortunately. And it was so sad, and we did a story. We didn't do the story of that. We did the story of the trial. It was, like, a three-hour-long play, and it was so boring. Like, my family was like, we love you, but we can't go every night because it's just so boring. And there was so much going on. Like, that's so stressful. I cannot imagine doing that every day. And, like, that's basically
I couldn't imagine
on a
doing
film.
It.
It's like theater.
Yeah. It is, because we film two episodes a day, and we film for 4 days out of the week. So we film 8 episodes a week. So you could have, you know, you could be in one episode or you could be in all 8. You could have to memorize anywhere between, you know, 6 to 120 pages of dialogue in a week, and then get up the next week and do the same thing again. So it's definitely an interesting forum, and I don't know, I really like it. I like how quick it moves.
Now,
did
you get to do a lot of the international shots that the show is kind of famous for? I'm trying to think back, and I honestly can't remember In and Out, you know. I don't know, and the way that it's filmed is kind of seamless, too. I'm sure that there are shots that look like they're international that aren't necessarily in.
Sorry, what was the question? Have I ever gone with the show internationally?
Yeah, did you get to go do part of that when you guys got to film overseas?
No, I've never gotten to do that, unfortunately. I wish I did, but I haven't been fortunate enough to do that one.
It
looks
amazing,
though.
Seems like they go eventually here now.
So,
yeah, they're heading to Monte Carlo
this
week.
You said that you memorize, like, up to 120 pages of dialogue. So how often, or not how often, but how far in advance do you, like, receive the script? And, like, how long do you have to learn that? Because that sounds insane to me.
It depends. When you're on contract, they usually get it to you, like, you get it a week out. Now I get it kind of, like, the Friday before the week I'm supposed to be filming. But for me, I just have to learn the night before. So, like, I need to learn, because I can't, I'll get the scripts too mixed up if I try to learn everything in advance.
Yeah.
So I literally, like, if I have two. Angry Birds. I usually will just learn the night before and sit with it. But I'll read them all when I get them and familiarize myself with them.
Now, do you
have
any special
that's amazing skill.
For do you have anything, any special things you do to try to help you memorize, or do you just have a natural knack for it?
I have a really good, I'm a visual learner, which I feel like is really helpful when it comes to that thing. And it comes to that in particular, I'm really good at, if I read something 3 times, I pretty much have it committed to memory. And I think the most important thing for, like, actors is figuring out what kind of learner there are, because you can either be, like, a visual learner or an audio learner or a kinesthetic learner. And that's kind of been the fun thing for me, even on the show, is figuring out how, like, different people like to learn their lines. Like, Aleda's father is an audio learner, so he will record the other person's lines, and he can only learn his lines by saying them out loud and listening to the other person. And that won't work for me. I have to just read them, and then, like, I can only do something with, like, my eyes, or if somebody feeds me a line, I can't remember it. I have to look at it. And then, like, Jackie McInnes Wood is a kinesthetic learner, so she likes to walk and move while she says her lines, because that's the movement is what she memorizes, which I think is really cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I wanted to ask, so everybody that listens to this probably watches soaps or watches you. So what are some things that you watch? Because I know you don't watch yourself, you said. But what are some things that you watch and, like, shows that you're addicted to?
Oh, man, there's so many. I really love good shows and good television. I really am into The Handmaid's Tale right now. And I can't wait for Game of Thrones to come out. And there's a lot of shows on Netflix and Hulu that I absolutely love. And HBO always has my favorite shows. So those are kind of usually the ones that I stick to. Orphan Black. That's a big one. That's a great show.
Well, we just got into House of Cards, and now I'm so addicted.
That's a good one, too.
I'm in the middle of mainlining the recent season. Right now I'm about halfway through. I've got Orange Is the New Black is next in the queue, and
Orange Is the New Black is amazing.
Yeah, it's so great. I wanted to tell you guys, if you're into the Netflix originals, there's a show on there, and it's called The Ranch, and it's a comedy. It's so funny. Sam Elliott and Ashton Kutcher are on it, and it is the funniest thing. Like, I laugh at that show so hard every single time. It doesn't matter how many times I've seen it. It's so funny.
Yeah, and Kelly Goss, who used to be on Young and the Restless, is on that show.
Yay.
She's a recurring on that, I think, or series regular, I'm not sure. But
That show is hilarious. And it's coming back on Friday, I think. But it's so funny. Kathy, if you haven't watched it, you got to watch it too.
I haven't seen that one. I think the last one that I watched was Grace and Frankie, and I love that show too.
Oh, that's a great show.
Oh, I haven't watched that yet.
I started that one, and oh, you'll love it. It's so fantastic.
It's hilarious.
Now I'm going to start it. All right, Kathy, what were you going to say before I got you all distracted?
Well, I know that you guys y'all filmed on the same lot, and you're right next to each other, and I know you did a couple of crossovers on Young and the Restless. Do you still see a lot of those folks? I mean, I know, obviously, you know, your daughter's father, y'all probably see each other a lot,
we see each other a lot. We just celebrated Leah's birthday, and we had Cameron Grimes and Kate Fairbanks from over there, and then we also had Haley Aaron and her boyfriend Logan at the birthday party for her. There's the people that you get close to and you stay close to. I mean, if I'm on set, I always go see Cameron Grimes, who I absolutely adore. And if I'm there, I usually go and hang out with her dad at some point and say hi to him. So, yeah, and I keep in touch with Kim Matula from my show. She's killing it right now. She just got a new show on Fox called L.A. to Vegas that should be coming out in January, which is super exciting. And you kind of, you know, when you work in such tight quarters with everybody, even the people across the hall, we see each other all the time because they're only across the hall. And you know, we've established, you know, Bobby and I have both been there for a really long time. You just get used to these people, and, you know, Aleta calls Cameron, Nancy Cam. A lot of times they'll just become your family in a way.
I wanted to ask you, totally random and off subject, but you said you've mentioned your daughter a few times, and I love her name. Did you just, like, is this just a name that you liked, or how did you name her? Is it something special, or did you just hear it and like
yeah.
it?
No, her name actually had a lot of meaning, which was really important to me. So when Robert and I met, he used to call me Little Sprite because he thought that I looked like a fairy. And when I got pregnant, he was, like, totally convinced that she was going to come out and look exactly like me and be, like, this tiny little fairy person. And Aleta means small winged one in Latin. And then Seren means star. And when we got engaged, we were stargazing prior to that. And I was pregnant with her at the time. So her name loosely translates to star fairy.
That's sweet.
So
I love that. I just thought it was really pretty.
Thank you.
Well, we are unfortunately running out of time. We only have about 5 more minutes. So is there anything that you want to talk about that we left out or something you want to leave our listeners with today?
No, whatever you guys want to.
Well, what do you
want? We love it. Kath, what are you saying? Go ahead.
Oh, what have you got on your plate next? What kind of projects have you got in the works?
I have a project that is coming out soon, but I'm not allowed to talk about it yet. But it has to do with that. Like, I don't know. I posted on the internet, like, this thing where I was a zombie, so that'll be coming out. But I'm not quite allowed to talk about it yet until they make the announcement. And that's pretty much it, just that, and then filming the show right now. And then probably, hopefully more to come soon.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to it.
You'll have to come back and talk about it once you can.
Yeah, I will. As soon as I can, I will, absolutely.
Okay. Well, we really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for coming. And, of course, you're welcome back anytime, and we'd love to have you. So we'll let you go and play with your little girl.
Thank you so much. Well, have a good day, both of you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Kathy, so.
I am here.
Okay, just making sure, because sometimes the thing is really weird. And we apologize for the technical difficulties today. I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk, unless it's the crappy weather here in Alabama. We're having storms, but it has, like, frozen a few times. So sorry if you're listening and you're confused. But, yeah, next week we're going to – I think we have a Twitter poll going for what next week's show is going to be. So you're going to have to stay tuned to our Twitter to find out what our – theme for next week will be, but we're either going to be doing our favorite scenes or talking about our favorite characters, or we'll be doing the 50 random questions about each other game, that whole thing, that one around a few years ago. I know we're late to the party, but it's fine. So, yeah, vote in our poll, tweet us, let us know what you think, and you'll have to keep up with our social media to know what's coming next. But we'll be back next Thursday at 5:30, of course, and yeah, let us know what you thought of today. Kathy, you want to say something? I feel like I'm doing a lot of talking.
Yeah, I'm at so much whatever on Twitter. And we're at talk_daytime on Twitter. And Emily, I never can remember your Twitter handle. Good thing I have you.
I know, I want to change it, but I've had it so long. I'm at EmilyC0915, and I want to change it just to my name. But I've had that Twitter handle for like 6 years. And I don't want to change it because no one will know who I am. And, you know, plus there's that whole thing where you can search your, like, handle and someone else's and see all your tweets together, like, forever. But I don't know if that still works after you change. Like, so I haven't changed it, but I should probably do that. Anyway, sorry, I'm rambly today. Anyway, stop, you're making me laugh. So, like, I'm laughing. Stop. Okay, we're back. We're such a mess. We're back next Thursday night at 5:30, and you'll have to figure out, or we have to figure out what we're doing. We're not sure yet because we're letting you guys decide for us. Yeah, keep up with us on Twitter, and I feel like I'm supposed to say something else, but I don't know what, so we'll talk to you next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.